rectifying rubber finger stalls. Falling down half a hole. Befuddling your mechanic by retuning your engine to concert pitch. Liver fountains. Steeple accelerators for about 2 minutes. I've not succeeded yet, but I'm sure it is possible to smoke a pipe underwater. You see, the heat in the bowl should persuade the nearby water to steam, producing in the process a comfortable pocket of rejoicing gases, within which a satisfying and mellow smoke should ensue, with the water acting as a filter, as in the manner of the traditional shisha of kebab. The bladder of it is, every time I'm on the point of proving my theorem, some officious tripehead has me removed from the deep end of the public swimming bath and dispatched with great indignity. Clapton's teeth! Whither science now, I ask. Rubber gnats. Blundering hopelessly into a deep continental drift. Pajama excuses that slot easily into concave mirrors, like in physics at school. Thoughtlessly for etting, oh, move your ong. Raising yourself on one elbow. Not exactly a complete education, is it?
Through 17 bowls of muesli, explore the intoxicating capacity of lighter fuel, or throw cats upside down from upstairs windows just to giggle at their frantic wriggling and record the noise when they land. Because you'll never be short of an idea or two with 101 things to say and do on a rainy afternoon, including ringing up your local radio station and pretending that you've won a stupid prize just to make them say something silly. It's silly.
Hello, BBC Wiltshire Sound.
Good morning. I won a competition a few days ago. I won a recipe.
Oh, right, yes.
And it was on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And it was a baby recipe.
Baby recipe, right.
Do you know how long it would take to cook one?
In a saucepan, are you boiling?
Yes, baby in a saucepan, yeah.
Yeah, about 15 to 20 minutes, I should think.
Until what?
Until it's soft.
Right, okay, thank you.
All right.
101 things to do on a rainy afternoon also includes tips for strangers to London, including LRT's request stop facility, just pull the red lever when you want to stop, a manhole cover remover so you can see which gerbil is winning, and how to pull 999 legs off a millipede so it has to hop.
Today we're addressing the problem of the impending stair shortage. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think stairs, I go up and down stairs a lot.
So I imagine you're the kind of person who finds stairs quite useful.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah.
What do you use them for, mainly?
Well, I mean, we've got...
I imagine.
Several flights of stairs, and we're up and down all day long, and I mean, it keeps us fit. It's always kept me fit.
What do you think they're more useful for, actually going up or going down?
Well, going up.
Obviously, if we limited their use to just going up, then the wear and tear would be decreased.
Yes.
So perhaps you'd be in favour then of removing all the stairs used for coming down and simply leaving the ones which are used for going up then?
Yes, yes.
How do you feel about the increased incidence of potato assault?
Potato assault? Very painful.
Have you ever actually been knocked unconscious, as a matter of interest?
Oh, yeah, with a cricket ball.
Any thoughts on what it would feel like to be assaulted by potato?
Very uncomfortable, yeah. Hmm.
Think it would actually knock you out?
If it was big enough and heavy enough, yeah.
Do you think action should be taken on the use of ballistic potatoes?
Well, I think that'd be a government matter, you know, yeah.
Would you take it that far?
Oh, yeah, with this government, yeah.
Do you think there should be restricted access to potatoes or a limit on the size?
Just on the size, I think, yeah.
How many pounds?
Oh, I don't really know. A quarter of a pound?
Upsetting the over-60s by chipping their grandchildren into short, rude words. Clockwork diseases. pushing all the days to the end of the week, and then jumping down the gap. Setting aside the next 52 years to work out a way of driving round roundabouts without using the steering wheel. Looking at life through 12 hazy drumlins. There I was, attending to my fortress, when I was grasped by an unusually vast sneeze. One humongous convulsion later, there it was, out. So large, in fact, that the wheels fitted perfectly. Obviously, after that, it was no problem to drive the sneeze very fast indeed, straight onto the motorway. You don't need brakes in a sneeze. To stop it, you just pinch your nose and shut your mouth. It wasn't that I didn't see the juggernaut, more that apparently I was only doing 6 miles an hour and my lights weren't on. And you know, I must have been hit with such force because not a single trace of that sneeze was ever found. Signing all your checks, Ilya Nastasi, until it gets dark. Gaining people's confidence so they really open up. Then nicking bits out of them and hiding them in trees. Driving two whales mad. And then back along the M5, really relaxed. Leaving the Earth's atmosphere. Absolutely nothing in your will. Ocean-going yachts, ocean-going liners, and ocean-going...
Shoplifting. Have you ever seen it happen?
I have not seen it. I've only heard about it on the news.
What sort of shop do you think would be the easiest sort of shop to lift?
Shops with things at low levels.
So the balance is quite close to the floor?
Probably, yes.
And I guess the lighter shops, such as paper shops, would be easier to lift?
Yes, it probably would be, practically, yes.
What do you think, then, would be the kind of weight which would make it impossible to lift a shop without using industrial equipment?
Something around about 20 or 30 kilograms.
That would make the shop pretty difficult to lift.
Make it pretty difficult, yes.